Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 408th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and today is a special message, folks. I'm going to share with you a true story. We're going to call it Josie's Rose, and I'm going to start it with James chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. We all know these verses. James wrote, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." You know, folks, that's what Terry and I read for our morning devotion last Monday, July 1st, 2019. In fact, that's exactly what we lived that day. And I want to read it exactly as we read it out of our copy of our Daily Bread. Now, it's the NIV, and I'm not real crazy. They used to do the New King James, and I think it was better. But I just want to read it exactly as we read it on Monday morning. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Let me emphasize that. If faith by itself is not accompanied by action, it's dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. Now, let me give you a little background on this amazing book of James before I move on and share this true story. So this letter begins with this passage out of chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now, this James was the half-brother of Jesus. That's pretty well established, okay? In Mark chapter 6, verse 3, it lists James as one of the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Not cousins, folks, brothers and sisters. And so this James is among them. Now, his brothers and sisters, you know, Jesus' brothers and sisters, they were real slow coming to the faith. They grew up with this guy, okay? This guy, this man God, Jesus Christ. So they were his siblings, okay? And they're looking at him like, who do you think you are, you know? Now, Paul tells us that Jesus appeared to James after the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, and Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. So his brother James, his half-brother James, and his other brothers were among the believers in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And by the way, here's a quiz question for you. Who is another brother of Jesus, half-brother, okay, who wrote a book of the Bible? Let me know if you know it. Send me an email. I'd be just curious to see how many of you get that, okay? Now, after this other brother James was executed, James, that was James, the son of Zebedee, you know, the brother of John, the sons of thunder. And you could read about that in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. This James, the half-brother of Jesus, became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And he actually mediated or kind of run the first church council. And everybody says, oh, Rome, Rome, Rome. No, the first church council was held in Jerusalem. Now, sometimes he's known as James the Just, okay? And he was martyred for the faith around 60 AD. So just remember that. This guy wrote this incredibly powerful passage about faith without works being dead. So just do it, okay? Just get up there and do it, folks. Put some shoe leather to your profession. And then he was martyred for that faith years later. Now, if you've ever read the Daily Bread, you always know there's a little story around the scripture and the background that I covered with you, okay? I want to share that story. In fact, I'm just going to read it to you, okay? So there's this story, okay? And the title I have right here, the title on Monday was, Are You Hungry Now? Okay? So here it starts. Thomas knew what he needed to do. Having been born to a poor family in India and adopted by Americans, upon a return trip to India, he witnessed the dire needs of the children in his hometown. So he knew he had to help. He began by making plans to return to the U.S., finish his education, save a lot of money, and come back in the future. And after reading this passage, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, in which James asks, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Thomas heard a little girl in his native country cry out to his mother, but mommy, I'm hungry now. And he was reminded of the times he had been intensely hungry as a child, searching for trash cans for food. Thomas knew he couldn't wait years to help. He decided, I'll start now. Today, the orphanage he began houses 50 well-fed and cared-for children who are learning about Jesus and getting an education. All because one man didn't put off what he knew God was asking him to do, and I'm going to add right now, okay? James' message applies to us as well. Our faith in Jesus Christ provides us a great advantage, a relationship with him, an abundant life, a future hope. But what good is it doing anyone else if we don't reach out and help those in need? Can you hear the cry, I'm hungry now? So Terry and I covered all this, as we do, and then we prayed. And in our prayer on Monday, we ask that the Lord would empower us not to put off until tomorrow. Listen to me, folks. Not to put off until tomorrow what we can do today and bless others. So that was our prayer. Just remember that, okay? And then up to this point, what would you say? Just a typical devotion and prayer so far? I mean, as typical as devotion and prayer can be. But don't get me wrong when I say that, okay? because a normal and typical devotion is very essential. It's normal, okay? Just like typical normal meals we eat every day are. But I'm going to say this to you folks. Can you remember what you ate two Thursdays ago? Probably not, unless it was something momentous, a special occasion, a birthday, a celebration. The point I'm trying to make is that being normal or typical doesn't make it unimportant. Let's face it, you know, those meals, they nourish us. They nourish our bodies. Just like the daily Bible reading and devotions and prayer, they nourish your soul and your spirit. Without them, you'd starve and die. And that applies both to the physical realm and the natural realm. So keep that in mind, okay? So anyways, that was our normal and typical Bible study and our devotion and our reading and prayer on Monday, July 1st, 2019. And about 10 minutes later, I'm getting ready to go out today and start out the door and start my day. Now, I always visit my mom at her house or home at Bishop Morrow. She lives with seven other ladies and five nuns in this beautiful, beautiful home. And I mean that, folks. It's beautiful. And I always meet with my mom before we go over her her therapy. We exercise together, and then she reads this devotion to me. It's part of her therapy. You know, remember, my mom suffered from a hemorrhagic stroke on November 1st, 2017, and she's literally a miracle, because the survival rate for that is less than 5%. Yet my mom is fully functioning. And she goes out, she goes to the movies, goes out to eat. She's going to be going to Texas to see my sister. She travels. We're going to have a cookout with her and my mother-in-law probably on Monday, provided the Lord's willing. So I was just about to leave to start my day, and Terry said to me, "I'll give those flowers to the sisters tomorrow. I just don't feel like getting up right now." And I said, "Terry, remember what we just read and prayed?" And she agreed with me, so she got up to work putting those flowers together for my mom and the folks at Bishop Morrow. Now, you got to understand something here. Terry has a flower ministry, and she also has a bread ministry. Now, you may be scratching your head, and you may be saying, "Flowers and bread? What's that all about?" Well, she uses these two common items to touch others and share the love of Jesus Christ. So she'll get a bucket of flowers, and then she'll put together arrangements, and we'll just pass them out to people. And sometimes there's little notes or scriptures. And we do the same with bread that we get from our Sozo's ministry at Panera once a week. So Terry had this bucket of red flowers that she got on Saturday. Now it's Monday morning. She had gladiolas and zinnias and roses, all red and all at the peak of their beauty. Okay, so she set about putting little arrangements together and putting rubber bands on them, putting them in buckets. And I waited there as she was putting the bundles together for Bishop Morrow and the sisters and my mom and the ladies there. Okay, so just picture that. Now, there were probably 10 or 12 roses in this bucket, and she put together maybe 10 or 12 arrangements. Okay, five or six going to Bishop Morrow, and the rest of them going to other people. You picturing this so far now? And as chance would have it, okay, one single rose ended up in one of those bundles for the sisters and the ladies at Bishop Morrow. Now remember, that big bucket of assorted red flowers had maybe 10, possibly 12 roses in it, and she made about 10 or 12 arrangements with five or six going to Bishop Morrow, but with only one red rose for the sisters in all those arrangements. That was just the way it came together, okay? So then she puts the sisters' arrangements in a smaller red bucket, and she always color coordinates, okay? And finally, I go off to see my mom and do her exercises, carrying this bucket, you know, as I get out of my car. So I'm standing at the door to Bishop Morrow, okay, waiting for the sisters, one of the sisters to answer it, and they always do. And I'm holding the bucket in my arm, about chest high, if you can picture that, okay? Because the handle, it just felt like it was going to break, and I didn't want that falling and getting all over the porch. So I ring the bell, and then Sister Josie, one of the nuns, answers the door. And normally she greets me, "Ah, Brother Ken, nice to see you, and how are you today?" And if you know me, I always say, "I'm blessed, and I know you are too, sister." And usually I give her a little brotherly kiss on the cheek, and we hug, and you know how that all goes. But today was different. She opened the door, and she had this shocked look on her face. And then she started to tear up and almost cry. And I'm thinking there's something wrong at the house. Maybe there's something wrong with my mom or one of the other ladies just got hurt. And then she said, "Oh, dear Jesus, here you are, Brother Ken. You're an answer to my prayers." And I'm looking at her like she's nuts. I'm thinking, I come here every day. What are you talking about? And then she tells me that she just got done praying for her nephew, who's in a rather difficult engagement right now. And she asked the Lord to give her a sign of a single red rose if there's to be the wedding between him and his fiancée. And then the doorbell rings, and there I am standing holding this bucket full of red flowers with a single red rose staring her right in the face at eye level. Are you picturing this, folks? So I smile and say, "Praise the Lord." I hand her the roses. I'm a bit confused at this point, and I go down the hall to get my mom and do her morning workout and do the devotion and all that. Then about 30 minutes later, after I've finished, okay, I'm done with my mom now, okay? You picturing all this? And I shouted goodbye because there's an alarm on the door. And I'm leaving. And just as I was pulling out of the parking lot, Sister Josie comes running out of the house with a tub of fresh stew for me, okay? They were making stew for the ladies for dinner that day. And these dear sisters, they always give me stuff to eat. They're making me fat, okay? And they're really good cooks, okay? So I didn't think much of it at that point. And Josie says, "Here's some stew for lunch. I just made it for the ladies, and I thought you'd like some." And I said, "Thank you, sister." And then she goes on, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's sniffling. She says, "Brother, I have to tell you something." And then Sister Josie proceeds to explain to me why, folks, that she teared up and cried over that rose, okay? You see, let me give you some background here. There's five sisters that care for these eight women that live in this house. And it's not a nursing home. It's just a house. It's a personal care facility. It's assisted living, whatever you want to call it. So these ladies have a beautiful place to live. It's like living in a house with some other people. And sisters Josie, Mercy, Gracia, Vinaya, and Georgina are all from India. Most of them are from the original church founded by St. Thomas back in the first century. So their church is older than most of the churches we came out of, or our families came out of, if we were quote-unquote Catholic or out of the Protestant movement from Europe, okay? These sisters go back to the original 200 families that founded the church with St. Thomas nearly 2,000 years ago. So now this particular day, Monday, July 1st, was Josie's day to drive to Greensburg with another sister to visit the priest at the retirement home, and they do some ministering there. But at the last minute, she traded with another one of the sisters and stayed back at Bishop Morrow. Now, this was all happening while I'm at home praying with Terry, okay, and then waiting for Terry to finish his flowers. So now Josie's in the chapel praying for her nephew, who's having this troubled engagement. You following all this now? And Josie had just hung up with her brother after praying. That's her nephew's dad. And she told him that she had prayed for a sign of one red rose, if the Lord would heal the relationship and allow the marriage. And it's not wrong asking for signs. You can see that in the scripture. So now, this is important. You got to get this. Just 14 years earlier, okay, she had prayed for that brother who had stage 4 nasal cancer. It was very serious, okay? And she had asked the Lord to send a sign. Red roses, okay? Not a rose, but red roses, if the Lord heard her prayer and was healing her brother. So later that day, 14 years ago, a volunteer came to the house and brought 7 or 8 vases full of red roses. Are you hearing me? Folks, did you hear that? So her brother was supernaturally healed from his stage 4 nasal cancer, just like Terry was healed from cancer. And these sisters were praying for my wife, Terry, too. And her brother has been cancer-free for 14 years. So here I am in the parking lot of Bishop Morrow holding a tub of stew and hearing all this in awe when it struck me. Our Father in heaven orchestrated all this. First, me and Terry reading the daily bread, which we do every day. And by the way, we almost didn't read it on July 1st because I had misplaced the envelope that had the July issue in, and I was looking all over for it, and here it was stuck to the back of her phone bill, sitting on my desk. And every time I'd pick the bills up, I'd pick up that envelope, and then I finally found it. And then we read it, as we do, and we took that message to heart, praying, Lord, give us strength not to put off until tomorrow what we can do today. You see in all this, folks, because we're saved by grace through faith, and it's unto good works. So that's the core of the message. Faith without works is dead. Now, while all this was going on, Sister Josie's back at Bishop Morrow trading places with Sister Mercy, I think it was, who went off to Greensburg, and Josie stayed behind praying for a sign for her nephew's wedding, a single red rose. And Terry pulls one red rose out of the bucket for the sisters, and I'm greeting Josie at the door with these bundles of red flowers. Folks, are you seeing this? I'm telling you, our Father in heaven ordered it all. Praise the Lord. He does hear our prayers, folks, and he does answer them. You should have seen the awe on her face, on Josie's face. You know, he heard Terry's and my prayer while he was simultaneously listening to Josie's. And then the Lord used Terry and me as an instrument, okay? In the heavenly realm, he's orchestrating all this. And why? Why? Because he can. No, seriously. All for his glory, like I've been sharing with you over these last couple weeks. So, you know, we got to seize the moment we're in right now and live for his glory. So by our faithfulness, you know, Terry's and mine, and Josie's, okay, all of us stay in the course and trusting in him, what ultimately happened? The Lord was glorified. The Father of lights was glorified. Our Heavenly Father was glorified. Remember, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the creator of the universe. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 through 7, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten of God? But even the very heads on your hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. Folks, why am I telling you that scripture? Well, he knows us down to the very number of hairs on our head. And he knows the sparrows in the field. My point is that God's very real, folks. He's relevant, and he's right here in the midst of our daily grind. He's right here with you and me right now. He's not some abstraction or ideal. He's a living, real being, the ultimate being with no beginning and no end, all-knowing. Think about this, folks, all-powerful, all-present, ever-present, yet loving and kind and involved in the little details of our life. And better yet, he wants to talk to you and me, if only we knew how to listen. You know, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, listen to this, folks. A still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what thou doest thou here, Elijah? So God speaks to us, but it's not always the way you expect, and it's not always with fireworks in the sky like we saw a few days ago. It's in a still, small voice. So we've got to know how to listen to this unique voice of our Father. And we've got to seek him. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. And then remember these things, like the story of Josie's Rose. How many Josie's Rose stories do you have? You know, my friends Jonathan Kleck and Sister Kathy and Sister Jackie, they have them. Just recently, Sister Kathy shared a series of events involving some unusual ways that the Lord spoke to her with quick confirmations. And I'm just going through an email she sent me. You know, she says, I'll stop a video, see something else, have it in mind, start a video again, and boom, some direct statement confirms what I'm thinking or seeing, etc. This happens a lot. Daily scripture reading, ditto with news and threads of stories I share. And Sister Kathy's amazing at how much information she processes. But she goes on and says, this has happened for years. Now the Strong's Concordance numbers I check almost without fail are messages. I believe to me confirming what Jonathan Cleck does or the times. And then she goes on and says, well, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Mom's sitting for a friend's dog sitting for a friend from church. Cutest little black poodle you ever saw. Light as a feather. Her name is Tilly June. This morning I was thinking when summer is near, you know, and it hit me till June. Then the piano guys crash a wedding. Folks, I'm telling you, these things happen all around us all the time, and we need to write them down. Why? So we remember them. That's why I'm sharing this story of Josie's Rose with y'all, okay? The Bible calls it a stone of remembrance, an Ebenezer stone. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 reads, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, the Bible talks about several types of remembrance stones, and I found a really good summary of this out on the internet on a page called The Viral Believer by Pastor Duke, and I'm just going to list the three types of stones of remembrance. First of all, there's the literal stone of remembrance, like that Ebenezer stone, okay? And like the stone that God told Joshua to gather, okay? In the midst of where the miracle happened when the Jordan, you know, separated and they crossed into the promised land. So what did the people of Israel do? They gathered stones from the middle of the Jordan as the water was being held back. And I believe that the Lord did this to make the people always remember the goodness of God. So they were able to enter into their physical circumstances of the promised land and then allow God to work through them to change things. So these stones were placed in the midst of where the people lived. And they were there for the future generations to be reminded. So this indicated that God was saying to the children of Israel, ask what the stones meant. And then they'd be able to share the story of how God intervened and parted the waters of the Jordan. So I wanted to share the story of what the rose for Josie meant. Okay. Then there's also living stones of remembrance. You know, Pastor Duke goes on and says in, out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, whether we realize it or not, God places stones of remembrance in the midst of our world today. Okay, and they're called living stones, you and me, with these stories like I'm sharing with you right now. And listen to what how this goes. And you are living stones that God is building unto his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. So we are literally stones of remembrance. The people should see and ask why, okay? Just like these children of Joshua asked why. What makes Bro Ken so different? What makes Sister Kathy so different? What makes Sister Jackie so different? Jonathan Cleck so different? Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you read your Bible every day? Why do you worship every week? Why don't you curse? In fact, this week we had a power outage and our switch on our generator failed again. And I let out a couple F-bombs as we were struggling to try to get the furnaces restarted and everything in the power outage. And I mean, it rained like I haven't seen rain. I was drenched all the way. My boots had water in them when I was trying to start this generator outside. And the crew leader, Steve, he heard me drop a couple F-bombs. I mean, I'm soaking wet. I'm trying to fire up this big diesel generator. It's a locomotive engine that we've got a big gen set on that can power up our furnaces. And he made that comment to me, and I said later afterwards, Steve, I choose to live that way. I don't want to. Please forgive me. And you don't want to forgive me, buddy. That's normal. I said, well, I don't want to be normal. I want to live a supernatural life. Now, I don't want to get all pious in all this, okay? And that's not the point, okay? But I want to honor and glorify God. So I explained this to him. Just like the people of Israel set those stones in place in the midst of the people by the Jordan, I want to do that. So just stop for a minute, folks, and think, what types of signs has the Lord put into your life? How has he miraculously moved in your life? You know, I had my mom's healing. I had Terry's healing. While that was all going on, I had Sister Josie. I'm sorry. I had Sister Jackie and Allison pray. We had a machine down in our plant back in 2017. And they prayed. And my business partner, Todd, actually met the man who built the machine. And now he services our machine. He's going to be coming over in a couple weeks and install a second one for us. So he intervenes in our lives. Okay? He physically is involved with outward symbols. And we need to remember his might and power. And then finally, Pastor Duke goes on and talks about the lasting stones of remembrance. And he uses the story of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. Okay? And this is out of Luke's gospel. And, you know, Jesus healed those 10 leopards. Okay? And it's a powerful story. I'll read part of it here. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 leopards stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Yet no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner." And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." So those are some of the different stones of remembrance. A literal stone, a living stone, and a lasting stone. These 10 men, they saw the power of God in their own life, just like you and me do, folks. And they were all cleansed of their leprosy. Yet only one came back to praise God and thank Jesus. Only one made a lifestyle choice with an attitude of gratitude, okay, that you and me need to be living with. Folks, we're all stones of remembrance, and we need to be stones of remembrance in our society, in our community, in our family, in churches. We've got to remember what God is doing in our lives, and we've got to share it with others and express gratitude. And then by doing that, we glorify God. So what we receive from the Lord isn't commonplace, folks. It's blessings and abundance. It's life, not death. It's blessings, not cursings. And it always has to be viewed in our hearts and in our minds as special and unique. So in my opinion, folks, I'm just telling you, one of the biggest sins that we do as individuals, as believers, and as collectively as the church, okay, is that we are no longer amazed and in awe and grateful for what God's doing daily in your life and mine in very personal ways, like the story of Josie's Rose with Sister Kathy, okay, and Tilly June and all the things that Sister Kathy sees. And how about Brother Jonathan? Oh, my. Every day he's sharing stuff like that. We forget to remember all the times God shows up in our lives. We forget to pass that knowledge on to others and share the story with our children and grandchildren. So by sharing this message with you folks, I'm laying it down. I'm documenting it. And I want to challenge you and encourage you right now. Ask yourself this question. What is God doing in my life right now? What are my stones of remembrance? Okay. How have I placed my life in God's hands so that he can move and work through me? And what am I going to remember? And what do I want to share with others to remember? So I'm passing my story of Josie's Rose on to you. And it's a story of God's power and his might in a very simple, delicate thing, a rose that was a symbol for a healing of an engagement, that was a symbol 14 years ago of a supernatural healing of Josie's brother's stage 4 nasal cancer. So what are your stones of remembrance? Folks, you need to understand that God is in our lives and he is there. He's real. He's relevant. And you got relevant, and you got to know how to hear his voice. And it all begins by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. So folks, I'm encouraging this week to walk and listen, seek the Lord. And then when you see these things, write them down, share them with others, make them a stone of remembrance, make them your Ebenezer stone. And then we're going to see that God is mighty and he's real. So I encourage you this week to go out and walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? I love y'all, folks. So let's walk by faith and not by sight. And I'll be back next week with another message from God's Word, provided we're still here and He's willing. I love y'all.
We walk by faith and not by sight.